Our text for this morning's meditation is from the Gospel according to St. John, our Gospel reading. These words, "And no one will take your joy from you." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not common knowledge. It's not common knowledge that there's a Sunday in the church year dedicated to rejoicing, to being joyful, to joy. Yes, people know about Palm Sunday, an Easter Sunday, Sunday dedicated to the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There are other special Sundays like Pentecost Sunday, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Trinity Sunday. Both have their own special emphases. But a Sunday dedicated to the theme of rejoicing, being joyful, joy. Well, that's today. That is this Sunday, fourth Sunday of Easter, Jubilate Sunday. And we have this special Sunday every year in the church year to remind us, yes, even to teach us, to bring to our attention that we as Christians are to be joyful. That is full of joy. So in Zechariah we read, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem." In the Psalms, in many places, "Let us rejoice in the Lord." And in Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, rejoice. And Jesus himself in Luke 10, "Rejoice. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Joyful. Joyful is what our Father in heaven would have us be, especially in view of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, signaling our justification, the fact that we have been made right before God. That's what that term means. Our sins forgiven through faith in Jesus, the one crucified for our transgression, our sins, but raised again from the dead for our justification. So, what does our Father in heaven do? Because of that justification, because we've been made right with him through faith in Christ, what does he do? Well, he sends his Spirit to us through his word. Sends it into our hearts. And his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, creates within us a joy in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, a joy that our sins are forgiven, a joy that we, in that resurrection forgiveness, we can love those around us, serving them with the gifts and talents our Father in heaven has gifted to us. Second in the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Second, number two in that list, only behind love and before peace, is joy. Is joy. So what gives then? What gives? Why is it that we are not always, as Christians, joyful? I mean, in the morning, we're groggy, and after a bit of coffee, perhaps a bit blurry, then somewhat focused, then after a shower, a bit motivated, and then hitting the ground running, we are, for a couple of hours a day, diligent, even intense, and then after lunch, a bit challenged, a bit sleepy, but rallying, we make it to the end of the day, functional but less attentive, then a bit worn, tired, sleepy. That's it. That's our standard daily routine. No, wait. That's my standard daily routine. Perhaps yours is a little bit like that. So what gives? Where is the joy? Where is the rejoicing? The joyfulness? Well, it has been misplaced, buried, even locked away somewhere in our hearts in a place that we do not often go, shoved there because, well, to be honest, harangued by our sinful nature, we have been less interested in the joy that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God gifted to us through His Word than the joy that is the result of somehow successfully navigating the world. And you know what I'm talking about here. There are all sorts of joys, worldly joys that are pursued, worldly joys that can be ultimately, that we can ultimately equate with spiritual joy, which is something other. Simple joy may be, for example, a good hot cup of coffee and a piece of toast right after we wake up in the morning. Another joy might be a brisk walk in the cool morning air. Another joy, a surprise phone call from a friend that takes up an hour or two of our day, which just flies by. A joy might be light traffic on our way to work, a good parking spot, a compliment from a boss, a piece of clothing that actually fits, shoes that are comfortable. Now there's a joy. I mean, when we come to think about it, our life can be filled with little joys, with one joy after another, with days full of joys, with constant joys until, well, our life is not. Life's not full of joys. And when it's not, when our life stops being filled with little joys, when our life begins to encounter the lack of such little joys and even suffering, what do we say? What do we say when we are confronted with a troubling situation? Well, we say, oddly enough, at least here in Minnesota, oh joy. Oh joy. Meaning, of course, the exact opposite of joy. That there is no joy. The joy is gone. What's happened? We've discovered at that point that all of the joy in our life, all of our joys, are in fact worldly joys. That is, joys based on worldly things. If our team wins, we have joy. If it does not, we do not. If our proposal flies, it works. We have joy. If not, we do not. If our favorite song plays on the radio and we can sing along, we have joy. If it does not, we do not. Worldly joy, or the lack thereof. Even more problematic is when we bring this idea of worldly joy, that is a joy based on the things of this world, into the church, and we begin to understand earthly joys as heavenly joys. My favorite pew is open, then joy. If not, then not. My favorite hymn is sung, then joy. If not, then not. If the service goes less than an hour, then joy. If not, then not. Is this a problem? Well, people rejoicing in our gospel reading, the people who would be rejoicing in the gospel reading would be the ones rejoicing because Jesus had been arrested and would be crucified. And of course, the disciples who were so joyful on Palm Sunday, being on top of the world, walking into Jerusalem with the universally hailed Jesus, would be the ones lamenting because their joy was also based on worldly events, on them having picked, so they thought, on Palm Sunday, the right teacher, the right rabbi to follow, but being thrown into utter despondency when he was arrested and crucified. But Jesus promised them, and he promises us, that we would receive a joy. That the world, that the events of the world, that no one can take from us. And that is the joy which has as its source the Holy Spirit within our hearts, reminding us daily of sins forgiven, reminding us daily of resurrection living, reminding us daily of a place called heaven. So the odd thing, our worldly joys can come and go. They can come and go depending upon the ebb and flow of our everyday lives. If the McDonald's French fries are hot and fresh, then joy. If cold and soggy, then oh joy. But not the joy of the Holy Spirit. It's there. It's there, even if we have covered it up, stashed it away, stored it somewhere. And we have done that most probably because we don't know what to do with it. To do with joy. The joy created within us by the Holy Spirit. For what do we do with it, this joy? Why are you so happy? People could ask us expecting some sort of answer like, well, I just got a promotion. Or, I passed my test. Or, I found a great deal at Sam's Club. But of course, the answer not expected when we were asked, why are you so happy, is, well, I'm forgiven. Or, Jesus is my Savior. Or, I'm loved by God. And I love all those around me. And I'm happy because I'm a child of God. And being a child of God, I know my loving Heavenly Father is taking care of me and will continue to do so even now. Even right now. Such answers in many contexts would not bring approving nods, but odd stares. And knowing this, perhaps over time as Christians, we have learned to stash away that joy. Stash away the joy that the Holy Spirit creates within us. Stash it away for safekeeping to be enjoyed at a later time. But let's not do that. Let us rejoice in the Lord. Let our spirits rejoice in God our Savior, for He has truly done great things for us and continues to do so. As Christians, through faith in Christ, we are the richest people in the world. We are, through faith in Christ, kings over all, servants of none, for everything that we need in this life, we have been given. And everything we need for the life to come is ours. Our spiritual bank account, we could say, it's overflowing. Our spiritual network of connectedness to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to the communion of saints here and in eternity, it flows 24/7, 52 weeks a year, without interruption. Everything, yes, everything now works for our good. For us who love God, who have been called according to His purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the basis for the joy that we have been given by the Holy Spirit. And it will be not taken from us. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.